If you guys don't know Pastor Fikri served here as a pastor for 5 years with me, helping grow in this awesome church, Bethel, reaching our great community. And he's going to talk about what God's doing around the world and also how you can expect great things from God this Christmas season. Pastor?
Thank you, Pastor Lance. Good morning. So honored to be with you today. One of my greatest expectations of all time was to ever be able to beat Pastor Lance in sports. And you know, he's a little bit competitive, but 2 years ago he came to visit me in Miami when I was planting a church, and I knew I would never be able to beat him in football or anything like that. So I dared him to a game of racquetball, and I'm happy to say I crushed him 11-3 twice. So great expectations do happen. Jet lag flying from here to Miami, yeah. Great expectations do happen if you dare to believe. That's what we're going to talk about today. And thinking about that, when Pastor Lance invited me to launch this series, I had a little video of what just happened in the Dominican Republic. You know, we are a movement called Every Nation, and we believe in reaching every nation and every campus. Recently, we felt led, Pastor Rice and myself, to go to the Dominican Republic. We had no contacts on the campus. We didn't know where to go, but we took a step of faith. I literally went, not knowing anybody, just knocked on the door of the president of the university. Watch this video and see what God did when you dare to believe and you expect great things. So we're sitting in Miami with Dr. Rice Brooks, and he expressed his desire to go to the universities of Latin America. The next day, I got on a plane and went to the Dominican Republic to visit La Universidad de Santo Domingo, the oldest university established in the Americas 478 years ago. And just after that was a few days, it's amazing what happened.
Estoy feliz de estar aquí.
These are the times that you wish you would have really paid attention in Spanish class.
All the founders of modern science believe that God existed.
Todos los fundadores de la ciencia moderna han creído en la existencia de Dios.
Why is there a universe instead of nothing at all?
Porque hay un universo en vez de que no haya nada.
Now the universe came into existence out of nothing.
Ahora el universo vino a existir desde la nada.
Nada es nada.
Nada es nada.
Many people die for what they believe is true.
Mucha gente muere por lo que creen que es correcto.
But no one dies for what they know to be false.
Pero nadie muere por lo que cree que es falso.
We'll make it for the show.
God is not dead, y para eso recibimos al Dr. Rice Brooks.
The existence of evil,
la existencia del mal,
does not point to the absence of God from the world.
No prueba la ausencia de Dios del mundo.
But it points to the absence of God from our hearts.
Sino que demuestra la ausencia de Dios de nuestros corazones.
If somebody says, well, why would you bring this
si alguien
to
le
the
pregunta,
university?
¿Por qué usted traería algo como
it's
esto a la
because
universidad?
this is a discussion between faith and science,
es porque
and
esto es una discusión entre la fe y la ciencia, y hay que permitirle a los dos hablar. Y recibamos al Dr. Rice Brooks.
You're ready to step out of the shadows.
Y estás dispuesto a salir de la sombra.
Say, I'm ready to serve Jesus.
Y decir, estoy listo para servir a Jesús.
Then I want you to very quietly get out of your seat.
Yo quiero que calladamente salgas de tu lugar.
And I want you to come and stand down front.
Y vengas aquí al frente, por favor.
The gospel is the good news.
El evangelio es las buenas noticias.
The God
que Dios
became man.
Se hizo hombre.
God became
man.
Yeah.
The reason I wanted to share this video, it's not a publicity stunt or anything. It's this is what happened when you dare to believe, when you take a step of faith. Everyone that you saw there, these are people that we've never met before. I've never been on that campus in my life. It's a campus of 200,000 students. To go there not knowing anybody and meet the president of the campus, meet with the vice president, get the room, get the people. 1,000 people come the first night, 4 TV interviews with in a country that we don't know any about. That is all just clear what God can do when you take a step of faith. Because there's no way you can say, oh, this our ability or not. We didn't know anybody there. We just went in faith. And that is what I want to talk about with you today. This is the heart of this sermon series that Bethel want to bring to you in the season of Christmas. Great expectation. Start. Great expectation. Begin when you dare to believe. That's what happened with Mary. That's what happened in the story of the gospel that we're going to read today in Luke chapter 1. And this is what's going to happen in your life and in my life when we keep great expectation. How do we do that? By daring to believe. Now, daring to believe, if you are here on a Sunday morning, on a cold Sunday morning, I just flew back from Bolivia where it's 95 degrees, so this is really cold for me. If you're here on a cold Sunday morning, it's because you believe in God. I mean, I'm sure you're here because you want to get closer to God, you love God, you're a believer, or you want to be a believer. You're not here because you're running away from God. Otherwise, you're doing a terrible job in running away from Him if you come to church on Sunday morning, right? So you're here because you want to believe. So I'm not going to try to sell you on having great expectation. I believe you want to have great expectation. What I want to talk with you today is, how do we get there? How can we dare to believe? I want to talk to you about how can we dare to believe. So if you could kindly open your Bible with me in Luke chapter 1. And I love Luke because Luke was a doctor, so he was very precise. The most precise gospel of all four is Luke. Luke tells the story exactly how it happened in the way and the chronological order that it happened in. So Luke 1, in the gospel of Luke, we see in the chapter 1 two stories. Two appearance of an angel, one to Zach and one to Mary, or Zechariah, however you want to call him. Zach was a high priest. He was a religious man. He loved God. He was in the holy of holiest place. He was inside the temple, in the place where, religiously speaking, God was supposed to show up. In the place where God promised his people, when I want to talk to you all, I'm going to show up at that place. And Zach was in the place where God showed up. He's worshiping God. He's loving on God, just like us show up on Sunday morning to love on God in the place where God is supposed to show up, church, right? And when God shows up, here's what Zach said. How do I know you're really what you're saying you are? Because when the angel looked at him and said, Zach, your wife is going to get pregnant. I'm going to bless you. You're going to have a child. Here is this great promise. But Zechariah had lost his faith. He had lost his expectation. Zechariah was not a man with great expectation. Zechariah did not dare to believe. On the contrary, he doubted the promise of God. He doubted the offer of God when it showed up to him. Now, you are smart enough to know when an angel show up in front of you, do not doubt him. Because they're a little bit stronger than us. If an angel show up, he says, yes, sir, I'm with you. Whatever you want, I'm okay. But Zechariah literally told Gabriel, how do I know you're speaking the truth? That goes to tell you what we hear in our society today. A lot of people say, if I see a miracle, I will believe. Big fat lie. A lot of people see miracles and don't believe. Zechariah did. He saw a miracle. He did not believe. It's not about miracles. I am here to tell you today that daring to believe is a decision and is a choice. It is not something that you just happen to stumble in. You got to take the choice. You got to make the choice of daring to believe. Zechariah made the choice not to believe, even when he saw an angel. I think it was Richard Dawkins, one of the greatest atheists, not greatest, nice, but like very, very atheist, I mean, that said, if I see a 30-foot Jesus, I would believe. Then he said, but then I wouldn't even believe because I would think I had a blur of a vision, that my eyes have tricked me. See, miracles don't make people believe. You believe because you choose to believe in your heart. On the other side, let's look at Mary, 14, 15-year-old Jewish girl living in one of the poorest neighborhoods in a very tiny town in a nation that is conquered by the greatest empire of the time, in a nation that is squashed by their enemies in terrible conditions. And that 14, 15-year-old girl is committed to marry Joseph. The word that we're going to read today that I'm not going to be able to pronounce, just giving you in advance because it's a difficult word in English, meant that literally she was married to. Not living with, but married to. With that in mind, let's read the scripture. Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. What's the other word after virgin? That's it. To a virgin, whatever that word is, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." What a great promise. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. We see in the story of Mary, somebody with great expectation that dared to believe for the impossible. For a 14, 15-year-old virgin, it is impossible to get pregnant. Impossible. Simply impossible. An angel shows up, and he challenges her. He gives her the announcement, and she dares to believe in the impossible. How could she manage to believe in the impossible? And as we talk a little bit about the story, it was not just an impossible. It was an impossible that endangered her life. Because if she shows up, back then, 2,000 years ago, in Israel, pregnant at 15, nobody was going to believe it's by the Holy Spirit. She was dead. So the angel shows up, give her a promise. She dares to believe. How did she manage to do that? In this chapter, we can see that faith that arose in her life came out of four practical steps. Faith does not come from just laying around watching TV. Faith does not come by listening to all the negativity that is in our world. The news, the media, social media, our world is a negative world. That's why the insurance industry is billions of dollars industry, because they're promising you, if you get our insurance, you will be protected. Number one, that's a lie. Number two, why do I need so much protection? Because I have lack of faith. Why does the news are always negative? Because negative sells. Why does it sell? Because people want to believe more in negative news than in good news. Nobody wants to talk about anything good. I mean, you can share the greatest news and somebody find the worst thing about that greatest news and exaggerate it and forget all the good things. Why? That's human nature. Since we fell, since we rebelled against God, since we left God, we focus on all the bad thing and don't focus on the good. But as believers, restored, redeemed, forgiven by Jesus, and you might be here and say, "Well, I'm not forgiven yet." Well, if you're here, you're on a good track to be forgiven. "Well, I'm not born again yet." Well, if you're here, you have a great chance to be born again. Just listen to the message and let's talk about it at the end. As believers in Christ, we are called to dare to believe. We are called to believe for the impossible. And here's my question to you this morning. What is the impossible that you're daring to believe for this season? It might be restoration of your home, finances, healing from a sickness. It might be having a child that you've been waiting for a long time and you still don't have it. And you're waiting and expecting and believing God. I don't know what is it that you're believing for today, but I want to challenge you to dare to believe for the impossible, following Mary's example. Here is her example. She dared to believe, number one, because she lived the right way. I'm not going to talk a lot about that, but you get the idea. Mary was a 14, 15-year-old, and the angel appears to her and says, "You have found favor with God." She didn't find favor with God because God looked and said, "Oh, I like her. I don't like her very much." That's not how God works. She found favor because she lived the right way. I mean, how many of you know that if Mary had tons of boyfriends, she was not going to be on the short list to be the mother of God, right? So she lived the right way. Because she lived the right way, she found favor with God. I'm tired of hearing the false teaching that everything depends on the grace of God and you got to do nothing and just receive. Faith is not passive. The grace of God does not mean that you do nothing. No. Yes, the grace of God, but you have to take the step of accepting. And acceptance is a step. It's an action step. So Mary took the step of living the right way, and she was chosen by God to be the vessel to bring the Savior of the world. Do you know that when the angel showed up and told her, she could have said no. She could have the attitude of Zechariah. What did Zechariah say? "How do I know you're talking the truth?" And the angel said, "Okay, you don't believe me? You ain't gonna talk anymore." But Mary didn't say that. She chose to believe. She dared to believe. And because she did that, she was honored. She was blessed. So we choose to believe, or we dare to believe, by living the right way. You think of your own circumstances and you decide what is living the right way. I am trying to, I've lost 10 pounds in the last month, and I'm trying to lose 20 more during Christmas. Now, if you're trying to do that, it is not living the right way to fill up on donuts and bacon, right? That's not going to work out. So in your circumstance, what does it mean to live right? You know your life more than I know your life. I know mine. What does it mean to live the right way in your circumstances? Please answer that question between you and God. Number two, the Virgin Mary, when the angel showed up and challenged her to dare to believe, first of all, she lived the right way. Second, she counted the cost. The cost of her calling, the cost of her great expectation was greater than the expectation itself. It wasn't cool to get pregnant at 15 when you're not married. It was terrible. The death penalty was shorter. There was no escape from it. The only hope was for her that her fiancé would believe her ridiculous claim, "Hey, Joe, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit." That was not something, I mean, we today we believe it, but just think about Joe 2,000 years ago. Your fiancé come to you and say, "Oh, by the way, while I'm waiting on you to take me to your home and I'm serving my mom and dad, I'm pregnant." And it's God. She had to count that cost. It was a high cost. The cost was, Joseph is going to leave me. I'm going to be stoned to death. I'm going to be outcast. In the best case scenario, if Joe is an amazing guy, he might accept me and keep me as a servant in his house and never touches me because I'm filthy. I'm unacceptable. She had to count the cost. When you have a great expectation from God, my friend, you and I have to count the cost because it's going to cost you something. I mean, it's not such a great expectation, but to lose weight, it's costing me to eat terrible food. Food that I don't like for nothing. I mean, my nephew is visiting us from Bolivia, and yesterday he looked at me and he said, "Do you really like to eat what you're eating?" I said, "No, I hate it." But I want to be healthy, and I got to pay the cost. There is a cost for everything. You got to count the cost. What is it going to cost for you, your great expectation? I know a lot of men that are after a promotion, work hard for a promotion, but they haven't calculated the cost of that promotion, because when it comes, the sacrifice of their family and of their children is way greater than the little bit more of cash that they receive. Count the cost. Always count the cost. I'm not saying your expectation is bad. It might be amazing, but please know that it comes with a cost. It comes with a cost. How many families are praying, are hoping, are working hard to get a child? There's a cost for it. You will not sleep very much for a long, long time. They cost a lot of money. I have only one, and she cost a lot of money. So if you have more, the cost increases. Pastor Lance, my friend, have five. God bless him. It costs a lot, right? You got to count the cost. And when you count the cost and says, I'm willing to pay that cost, then you're on the right track to get the expectation, to receive the expectation. You're daring to believe. Number one, you live the right way. Number two, you count the cost. Number three, you're willing to serve. Here's what Mary told the angel. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as you say. What she's saying is, I'm going to serve in any way I can the purposes of God and not my own purposes. We live in a world where serving yourself and your goals and your ambition and what you want is the most important thing. I mean, we see even riots in nations because people want to serve their own interest and not the interest of God. But we as believers, we are called to serve the interest of God. And this is probably not a very cool Christmas message, but it's a true Christmas message. Being a Christian is more about sacrificing oneself than about getting a lot of stuff for oneself. Does that make sense? That's the reality of Christianity. Being a follower of Christ, Jesus said, I didn't even have a place where to rest. That's what following Christ means many times. You know, because of the ministry that I'm involved in, I get to travel a lot, and many of my friends say, oh, you get to travel a lot. I always tell them, join me, and you see how difficult it is. It's never easy when you take a step of faith and say, I want to do what God wants me to do. Usually, it's hard. Mary said, I'm willing to serve. My respectful challenge to you during this Christmas season and all 2017, how about you come to the leadership of your church, come to Pastor Lance, Pastor Richard, all the leaders in this house, say, how can I serve? How can I serve? Because an attitude of service is a great step toward receiving that dare to believe faith that you and I need so much. But it has nothing to do with what I want. It never does. It never does. See, what God is looking at is not your ability to achieve your goal. It's your willingness to serve. And when you're willing to serve, even when you don't know what it has to do with your goal, somehow God works the miracle and gives you what you want. That's what means that He's God and I'm not. So you and I, let's commit to serve, just like Mary said, I will serve. And finally, here's what Mary did. What amazes me about Mary, again, a 15-year-old in terrible conditions, she received the visitation of the angel. And here's what she does. Verse 39 that we read says, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste, quickly, right after she got the promise. There was no way for her, there was no pregnancy test back then. There was no way for her to be sure that she's pregnant, but she believed the word and she acted on it. So the fourth step is take an action step in faith. Take an action step in faith. She believed the word and she decided, okay, I'm pregnant, so I gotta get out of my mom and dad's house because they will kill me. I gotta go somewhere far so society does not hurt me and give God time to do the miracle that He said He will do. She took a step of faith and went to visit her cousin that lived in the hill country far away. As she went, in the 3 months that she stayed with Elizabeth, God spoke to Joseph and told him, Joe, you marry that girl and you marry her quickly because this is from me. And Joe had to obey God. If she hadn't had left, more than probable that Joseph would have abandoned her and she would have get stoned by her own family and friends. But because she took an action step, a ridiculous action step, she stood up and left and went to her cousin's house, believing somehow God's going to fix it. I'm doing all I can do is leave, go, and God is going to fix it. My friend, as we close and pray today, my respectful challenge to you is to think, what is the action step that I can take? I have this great expectation. I want to dare to believe. I'm living right. I counted the cost. I'm serving God in my local church. How can I take an action step that will move me towards seeing the miracle that I need? If the miracle is a restoration of husband and wife, or getting a child, or receiving a healing, that there's nothing that you can do to get the miracle, but you can take an action step in faith. God, I'm going to take this action step. You might have more debt that could be paid, and today God challenges you to give an extra offering. That's an action step. You take the offering and bring it to the Lord and trust God that God will do the miracle. It makes no sense. I just came, as I said, from Bolivia. My friends, Friedel and Lisbeth, took the step of faith to go and rent a space on campus, and they're growing. Every month, they have zero money in the bank. They're like, no savings, nothing to pay for that. Every month, they had to believe God for a miracle to pay for the building. And they're pastoring that youth church. They have no income at all, but every month they have to believe God for the miracle. That's taking action step by faith. What is the action step in your own life that you can take after you've counted the cost, you're living right, and you're willing to serve? What action step can you take that will bring you closer to daring to believe? Because you know what? God is ready for the miracle. He's always ready. The funny thing about God is the miracle is around the corner and you cannot see it, but it's ready. It's ready. He's just waiting for you to turn the corner by faith. Just ready for you to turn the corner by faith. Can we stand together and pray today? I know this is a sober message, not a very happy Christmas message, but you'll get that next week from Pastor Lance. He bring me here to hurt you. I'm sorry, sir. But I believe that God is speaking to each one of us today. And the challenge is, dare to believe. Dare to believe. Father, here is my life. Here is my family. Here is my circumstances. Lord, I've messed up. I am not like the Virgin Mary. I made mistakes. I'm human. But just like everyone here, we're coming to you, Lord, saying, Lord, we want to live right. Lord, we want to count the cost. Lord, we're willing to serve you, our church, our community. We're willing to serve. Lord, help us to take a step of faith. Just like Peter got out of the boat and started walking on water, as crazy as that sounds, help each one of us to take a step of faith. Reconcile with his family, to believe for the finances needed, for the healing needed, for the child expected. Just take one practical step of faith. Maybe even if it's just going and buying a crib when there is no human hope to get pregnant. Just a step of faith saying, Lord, this is all I can do. Now I believe you for the miracle. Lord, I bless every one of my friends, and I thank you for each one of us here today. As we commit to you saying, we want to believe, help our faith to dare to believe and get great things from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's give Pastor Feaker and God a big hand clap. Thank you so much, champ. You guys can be seated just for a moment. You guys, in this Christmas season, there's something that we do every Christmas. And the reason why we do this is because not only do we want to have great expectation, not only do we want to have hope that God can do something in our life, but we want to bring hope to others this Christmas season. And one of the things that I think about the most every Christmas is children. I think about children because I want to make sure that as a pastor, as a believer, that children have a great Christmas. And I know you do too. And so each year what we do is we receive our Christmas offering, our annual Christmas offering. And this year we have three initiatives for three targets that we want to hit. Number one is mission of grace. Last week, if you were not here, we had one of our missionaries, Adrian, and she came, and she's our missionary to the nation of Haiti. And Hurricane Matthew came through, and as Hurricane came through, obviously it destroyed a lot of the homes. And so that portion of this Christmas offering that we are receiving this Christmas season is going to help rebuild a home for a family. That's huge. Also, right here in our own community, there is a ministry called Prison Fellowship, where they provide Christmas for children that have parents that are incarcerated. And so we want to make sure that those children are blessed. Amen? And so we're going to get behind them. We're going to purchase some gifts for some children. And so a portion of this offering is going to go towards that. And also, right here in our own church, we have families that need help, children, that we want to make sure that are blessed this Christmas season. And so we have our own angel tree. So a portion of this offering will also go to that. So these are our three ministry initiatives. Our goal is $10,000. And so that means that every one of us, every family, every individual needs to get involved in this Christmas offering. So as you give, know that you're giving to changing children's lives. Amen? We're going to receive the offering today and every Sunday in December. So if you have not come prepared to give today, that's all right. We're going to receive it every Sunday in December and also on Christmas Eve for our Christmas Eve services. We will receive it that night as well. I'm going to pray. You can make a check out to Bethel. Everything you give right here in this offering will go towards these three initiatives. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity not just to be blessed, but to be a blessing. Lord, and that's exactly what we want to do, God, as a church. We want to bless, God, the children, Lord, in Haiti, but also right here in our community and our local church. Lord, bless this offering. Speak to our hearts, God. What do we need to give into this offering? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys so much for giving.